Hello everyone, welcome to a new episode of my podcast, Explore and Engage with Anam. I would like to start today's episode by congratulating King Charles of the United Kingdom. He is the new king of the United Kingdom, and I know that in the UK there are lots of excitement and celebrations going on, and because we live in the day and age of technology, people from all over the world can watch the news updates, they can see the images and the video clips of the events that are taking place in the United Kingdom, and news can spread to every corner of the world almost in real time. And so from here in the United States, I was paying attention to the news updates about everything that's happening in the UK. And I want to congratulate King Charles III, and I wish him all the very best. And so, my friends, now let's focus on what's going on in the United States. And I would like to talk about the economy. The economy is a very important subject. I think we need to talk about the economy because the things that happen in the economy, those things affect each and every person. And right now, the condition of the economy, the U.S. economy, is not good. We have lots of problems in the economy right now. Supply chain crisis, inflation, energy crisis, and lots more. And I've talked about these in previous podcast episodes. And I've also written blog posts. And I have expressed my views and opinions. And I continue to do that. I see pain in people's eyes. I can feel the financial pain that people are going through, that hardworking Americans are going through. The financial stability of our nation has been hurt. Like waves hitting the side of a cliff, our economy is being hit by a multitude of problems. And I've mentioned the problems, and I'll mention them again. Supply chain crisis, I believe that's still going on. Inflation. Inflation is eroding the value of money. And the energy crisis. I am paying a very high price every time I purchase gas. And I think gas prices are not going down. They are not going down. People are waiting for gas prices to go down. But unfortunately, gas prices are still very high. I believe that we have abundant natural resources, including coal, oil, and gas. And so the United States should take full advantage of the God-given resources and try to achieve energy independence. Unfortunately, the current administration, the Biden administration, I believe, and this is the conclusion I draw from all the policies that I see this administration focusing on. You know, the Biden administration clearly, I believe, has an anti-fossil fuel position. But let me tell you, my friends, if we want to be energy independent, we need coal, oil, and gas. We need fossil fuels. And it's sad to see the energy crisis that we have right now. Here in Madison, Wisconsin, when I buy gas, I am paying well over $3 per gallon. And it's really hovering around, I think, from my experience, I can tell you the price of gas is hovering around $3.4 per gallon, and that's pretty high. And if I am lucky and I can, as I'm traveling, I can find a gas station maybe that maybe on a given day has gas for $3.2 per gallon, but in the county where I live, in Dane County, and in the city of Madison, which is an urban area, I'm paying around $3.4 per gallon, give or take. And so this is pretty high, and it's causing hardship for so many Americans, for so many hardworking Americans. Even as people are earning salaries and wages, they are seeing that their expenses keep going up because prices of goods and services are going up. So people are struggling to pay bills, and many families are not being able to save money because expenses have gone up. For the same quantity of goods, people are now having to pay more compared to what they paid, let's say, in 2019 or 2020. And in the process, I think what's happening is a lot of families are actually having to draw money from their savings because they are running into a monthly deficit. Their income the expenses, their monthly expenses are surpassing their monthly income. And as a result, people are having to draw from their savings in order to make ends meet. And that is sad. And so I think I will continue to talk about the economy because it's an important subject. And I will be highlighting the various problems that we have in the economy right now, in the American economy. Okay, let me now talk about another different topic. The World Health Organization. That organization just declared that the COVID pandemic is over. So according to WHO, the public health emergency, the COVID pandemic, it's over. Now, do you think that people really waited for the World Health Organization to make this announcement? As far as I can tell, a lot of people went back to living a normal life a long time ago. People reacted differently when this viral outbreak happened. There were parts of the country where people just wanted to stay home and work remotely, and they were hesitant to go out, and they were hesitant to go to a restaurant, and people were wearing masks, and people were waiting to get the vaccine eagerly. And when the vaccine finally was available, people rushed to get the vaccine. And then there were other people, maybe in a different part of the country or in other areas, who did not react with so much of, fear and nervousness. There were people who tried to keep their lives normal, even when the viral outbreak happened, even when the pandemic started. And, you know, I think from my observation, I can tell you, in the state of Wisconsin, depending on which county you looked at, you could see that people were reacting differently. In Dane County, there were lots of restrictions, and local government agencies, they had mask mandate, and there were social distancing guidelines, and restaurants were shut down, and people were either ordering carryout or they were using the drive-through facility to get their food. And there was a lot of fear among people. But if you drove outside of Dane County, let's say you visited Sauk County or Walworth County, then things looked much different. Over there, I think a lot of people were very much relaxed, and they tried to keep their everyday lives pretty normal and not let fear take over their daily routine. And so my point is that different people reacted differently. So it's not the same for everyone. But finally, the World Health Organization came out and they declared the end of the COVID pandemic. So I guess it's the end of the COVID pandemic. But once again, for a lot of people, the pandemic ended a long time ago. My friends, let me talk about a very different topic now. Something that happened in Bangladesh. And a lot of you may know that Bangladesh is the country that I was born and raised in. It is the country of origin for me. And I grew up knowing that it is a region where the likelihood of earthquake is very high. And I knew that growing up. I heard that from people. And even over the last, let's say, couple of months, I saw some news reports in which various experts and scientists, they were saying that there is a possibility of a major earthquake in Bangladesh, in that South Asian region. Now, recently, just days ago, there was an earthquake in Bangladesh, but it was not a major earthquake. And I really don't know the classification of the various you know, the severity of the earthquakes, which one is mild, which one is moderate, which one is severe. But this earthquake reportedly was 4.3 on the Richter scale. So I'm guessing it's mild to moderate, but it is still quite scary. And experts are saying that, you know, small earthquakes such as this one, you know, mild to moderate earthquakes, actually indicate that there's a possibility of a major earthquake sometime in the future. Now, is that going to be in days, weeks, months, or years? That I don't think anyone can really predict. But I do know from the various news reports that I've seen and the researchers that I've heard from, you know, researchers who appeared on television and discussed their, you know, their findings. From watching, from having watched all of that, the information that I was able to obtain is that there is a possibility of a major earthquake in Bangladesh, and that can happen anytime. And that is quite scary. And what is more scary is the fact that the capital of Bangladesh, which is the city of Dhaka, Dhaka is one of the most densely populated cities in the world. Very populated. And in certain areas of the city, the buildings are very close to each other. They're not very far apart. So obviously you can talk about urban and regional planning and what deficiencies there are and what needs to change. But I'm just telling you what there is right now, the current status. That's what I'm trying, that's the picture I'm trying to paint. In the city of Dhaka, there are many areas where the buildings, all the different buildings, whether those are residential structures or commercial structures, they're very close to each other. And there are many buildings that are either 50 years old or 100 years old or even older. And so people worry about those buildings. People have lots of fear about these old structures, and they ask whether these old buildings will be able to withstand the impact of a major earthquake. And there are lots of questions about the effectiveness of emergency response in the city of Dhaka and in Bangladesh in general. So if there's a major earthquake, will the emergency responders, will they be able to provide the assistance that people would need? And what will happen to all these old buildings? And it's a densely populated city. It's a very densely populated city. And so that's a major concern. Anyway, I'm not going to elaborate on this further, but I just wanted to share with you all that there was a 4.3, it was an earthquake that was a 4.3 on the Richter scale. And now people are really worried about the possibility of a major earthquake. Let me now talk about the next topic, which is presidential politics. I have been talking a lot about presidential politics because, once again, that's also an important thing to discuss. The Democratic National Committee reportedly is refusing to hold a single primary debate. And lots of Democrats, based on the news reports that I've seen, they're not very happy about this. Now, not having a primary debate is basically giving incumbent President Joe Biden the thumbs up to go forward without having to compete on a debate stage. Now, there are candidates from the Democratic side who are running for president. For example, Marianne Williamson and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And I think there are Democrats who would like to see incumbent President Joe Biden, and, you know, who's running for re-election, they would like to see him debate the other candidates who are running. But the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, reportedly is refusing to hold a primary debate. It's not very democratic, is it? You know, the name is Democratic National Committee, but if they are not going to give the other presidential candidates from the Democratic side an opportunity to debate incumbent President Joe Biden, then it's not really a fair process, is it? So, you know, that's something I wanted to mention. Obviously, we will know more as we pay attention to what happens in the days and weeks ahead. There will be lots to discuss regarding the presidential election that's coming up. It's November 2024, but as I've said before, time flies really fast. And so as major developments take place, I will be discussing those in my podcast. So please stay connected with me. Thank you for continuing to listen to my podcast, and I will highlight my website once again. Please go to tossifanam.net. Check out my website. You can see my blog posts. You can find links to my published opinions, and you can find lots of other important information. And also, please connect with me on social media. Thank you once again for listening, and I hope to be back again with a new episode of Explore and Engage with Anam.